Hi folks, welcome to episode 20 of the Epochs of the Lotus Eaters. I'm joined by Beau, and this week we're going to be talking about the Sea Peoples. I really enjoy the Sea Peoples because of the historical mystery surrounding them, but they appear to be somewhat responsible for the Bronze Age collapse, which is possibly something we should talk about another time. But so the Sea Peoples have been weirdly shrouded in mystery. Where did they come from? Who could they have been? But I actually think there's more than enough evidence to make an inductive argument that we can pretty much guess. We can be pretty certain of where they came from, right? They came from Greece. I'm pretty sure of it.
Okay. I disagree a bit.
Oh, really?
I just think it's more complicated.
Of course.
I think maybe we can get into it when we get into it in detail, but I think maybe it were more than one peoples. But that's why it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's
entirely
so far back we're talking here. Yeah. Let's put it in some context. We're talking the 12th century, 11th, 12th, 13th century BC.
Yeah.
So that's much older than anything else we've talked about in epochs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 3,500 years ago, basically.
Right, yeah.
So it's a very long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was in a period of rampant destruction, the complete collapse. So in this period leading up to this, there are four great empires that rule the Eastern Mediterranean and Middle Eastern world. So you've got the Babylonians, Assyrians, the Hittites, and the Egyptians. And off to the west in Europe, you've got tribes and barbarians and things. And for some reason, there's this massive apocalyptic event in which only the Egyptians and Assyrians empires seem to survive. The Hittite empire is destroyed completely. Everything along the eastern coast and eastern seaboard of the Mediterranean is just destroyed and sacked and burned down. And the question is why?
Mm.
And it seems to be laid at the feet of whoever the Sea People are.
Mm.
They seem to be a group of incredibly proficient marauders who just go around burning everything down.
Mm.
And the question is, well, who are they? Why did they come? Where did they come from? And you always get people pointing out, well, look at the Minoan reliefs in Crete. They haven't even got a single depiction of weaponry in their art. So it can't have been them. And okay, fair enough. It's a good argument. You know, it's obviously not a warlike culture. I've been there, actually. And they are very nice reliefs, but they don't. There's nothing, warlike about them. That's true. And so this being the setting, and again, it's such a long time ago. It's during the Bronze Age, so iron hasn't really been invented yet. So who do we think that the Sea Peoples are? Who does mainstream scholarship suggest?
Right. Well, you've placed it quite rightly, right on the cusp of the end of the Bronze Age and the start of the Iron Age. And anyone who knows the history knows there's not a single day.
No.
The 17th of
on
August.
Tuesday.
1177 BC was the Iron Age began then.
And it happens in different times in different places. So, when they might have been using iron all across the Middle East, in Northern Europe, they probably would have still been using copper and things like this. So.
Well, we were talking about the other day, weren't we, how the some Germanic tribes during the age of Trajan are still using bone arrowheads and things.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's easy for archaeologists to sort of say that after this late Bronze Age collapse, which they usually date around 1177, which is far too specific, but anyway, that there's some sort of giant collapse. The archaeology is really quite scary in a way. It seems like the whole Eastern Mediterranean world completely collapses. Nearly all the big towns and cities, the archaeology shows they were burnt down, or at least their palace complexes were all burnt down in the space of a generation, 50 years maybe, maybe even quicker than that.
Yeah.
And there's very little writing at that point, even in the Greek world, very, very little. But what little there is seems to have just completely stopped.
Mm.
So there's some sort of catastrophe, the late Bronze Age collapse is what it's called. There's whole books just written about what happened.
Just a quick thing. One thing that's important to note is that some of these empires, they are literally great empires that cover areas the size of modern day Turkey and modern day Egypt. In fact, truly national sized political entities, and they have vast. They operate on what's called a palace economy, and so the palace is like the centralized economic unit of the entire civilization. So, you know, tens of thousands of people would have been living in what they call these palaces, and you know, like grain comes in, food comes in, oil and whatnot, and then it goes out and gets distributed and things like this. And so these are huge complexes that are incredibly well fortified. The capital of Hattusha was like underground in caves and things like this. And you know, there's like, you know, various fortified cities. And so to have done all of this and burned it all down within a generation is a hell of an accomplishment for whoever did it. I mean, these were not easily taken, you know, they weren't just unwalled villages that were being sacked or something. You know, these were the capitals of great empires. So yeah, it's just to give you a context. It's like this, it's a long time ago, but they are still reasonably advanced, you know?
And a lot of people have said, used to say, until fairly recently, sort of the last 20, 30 years of archaeology, they used to say that it was caused by the sea people who are enigmatic. And we're not sure, even today, we're not exactly sure exactly where they came from, or if, pardon me, if they were all sorts of different peoples. But the old story used to be that they caused it, that they came and they ravaged everyone, up to and including Egypt, but didn't quite manage to completely defeat, entirely annihilate the Egyptian civilization. But other than that, it was these sea peoples. And so the question was, who are they? Who were they? We think now that it's a lot more complicated than that. It might have been droughts followed by famines, followed by displacements of peoples, followed by large-scale displacements of whole peoples, and all sorts of warfare. Just maybe a perfect storm of different things all going wrong in the space of one generation. Maybe loads of earthquakes as well. The East African Rift Valley, all the way up through the Levant, the Fertile Crescent. There's a rift there, and all across the top of Turkey, Anatolia is sort of a rift as well. So I think we think now that there's all sorts of reasons that caused this late Bronze Age collapse, one of which would have been the sea people. One last thing before we sort of maybe dive in into exactly who they might have been, because I feel like you want to focus on them more than the Bronze Age collapse.
I'm quite looking forward to it, yeah.
Is that you could make the argument that the sea peoples are a symptom of this collapse rather than the cause. It might be that they're actually as much a victim, or were the original victims of this sort of collapse for whatever reason, and that when we see them finally in the archaeological record and the small amount of sort of literary evidence we have, perhaps they're sort of the victims of it, because it looks as though, well, they certainly came from abroad as far as the Egyptians were concerned. And that's what we're really looking at, isn't it? The main bits of evidence we have are Egyptian. And, well, the Egyptian accounts are very Egyptian-centric,
of course,
aren't they?
But can I am an opponent of this kind of historical revisionism. I think that the Sea Peoples did something wrong and should be rightly blamed for being the marauding barbarians that they are, and shouldn't be seen as the victims of historical circumstance. I'm going to firmly defend this point, and I think that we can. But right, so let's get into what happened then.
Okay, so there's a place in Egypt, one of the various sites of interest, and it's called Medinet Habu. Medinet Habu. It's like a palace complex site, a bit like Karnak, looks a bit like a slightly smaller Karnak.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the sort of thing. And there's all sorts of frescoes and low and high relief and sculptures, inscriptions, and all sorts of hieroglyphs and things. Yeah. And it tells us of the age of Ramesses III, whose reign straddles this sort of kind of famous year of 1177. We can get into how accurate that number is. At Medinet Habu, it shows what we call the sea peoples invading or attempting to invade Egypt, and Ramesses III beating them. Now, we know that it's sort of propaganda. It's putting everything in the most rosy light possible, as far as the Egyptians are concerned.
But this isn't like, you know, unique to the Egyptians or anything. You know, every Middle Eastern king or emperor always had just glowing propaganda of how I succeeded for my entire reign and nothing bad ever happened. Mm. So it's not unusual.
Mm. Yeah, the Egyptians do stuff in the Assyrian mold where the king is just completely dominant and all-powerful and never suffers any sort of reverse. Yeah. One lecture I was listening to recently said that the Egyptians never lost. They just kept winning closer and closer to home, which is funny. A funny way of putting it. What does seem to be absolutely clear is there are at least two waves of these sea people that invaded Egypt. One in about 1204, roughly. This is all BC. And then a big one in 1177 when these inscriptions seem to say that the black ships came of these foreign marauding peoples. And there were, in the first wave, the pharaoh, the one before Ramesses, was able to sort of just turn them back, sort of make a wall of ships and men that turned back this first wave of the sea peoples. And the second one seems to be a lot more down and dirty and sordid and unclear exactly what happened. But the Egyptian establishment wasn't completely destroyed. The pharaoh wasn't murdered and overthrown. But it was certainly it seems like a closer run thing. Mm. And they probably had to settle some of these sea peoples within Egypt.
Mm. When we say within Egypt, we mean within the Egyptian empire, don't we? It was in a province or something.
Yeah, so Egypt, by this point, to put it in some perspective, the pyramids are 1,000 years older than what we're talking about. It's like the 2500s BC, roughly, when that we think maybe the pyramids were built. Yeah. So if we're talking...
Not by aliens,
by the way. I think, just a quick note on that, I think they've done some evidence on some research on sort of the lichens on some of the stones on the Great Pyramid, and it does look like it is from about 2600 BC. So, that's this sort of official line, but some people say it's much older than that.
Yeah, but the Egyptology, the dating of it, I'm not an expert on it at all, but I'm aware that there are arguments where like there are entire like millennia that are in doubt and things like this. And it's like, yeah, but this could all be wrong, and it could be 1,000 years older or 1,000 years younger. It's like, oh. You know, it could be.
Because we've got sort of king lists, what they call king lists, which go back for thousands and thousands and thousands, like 10,000 BC or something. Yeah. And so quite a lot of modern archaeologists say, well, this is nonsense. This can't be correct. But who knows?
That's right.
Either way, by the time we get to the age of sort of Ramesses III, although it's kind of unclear and not perfectly, you know, it's not perfectly clear, it's still quite good.
Yeah.
So, for example, the year I keep mentioning, 1177, we come to that date through king lists and various things, and they argue a bit about it. So, for example, you'll often find the year 1177, but they now think that because they know that happened in the 8th year of Ramesses III, so that's not in question, the 8th year of Ramesses III, but what year would that be in our calendar when we transpose that onto 11 something BC for us? Yeah. So they now think that maybe it was actually 1186 or 1184, something
3,000
like
years ago. I don't think we need to quibble
it's still
that
pretty
much
good,
about
right?
it. Yeah, yeah, it's
still
pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. And I'm not that bothered whether it's a couple of years out.
Right.
Yeah.
But the point is that it's not sort of all perfectly clear, but it's pretty good. So anyways, regardless of all that, what we also get at Medinet Habu is not only some sort of chronicle of these sea peoples trying to invade Egypt, but we also, it tells us who they were, who the Egyptians thought they were. And there's depictions of battle scenes and lots of hands being cut off and the pharaoh treading people under his feet and lots of depictions of ships, of people coming in ships. So that's why they've been called the sea people. And the Egyptians gave them names, but those names are now kind of lost to us exactly what they might have meant. So they talk of nine enemies, nine different peoples came to Egypt. And they give them names like Sherdan, the Sherdan, the Shekelesh, the Meshwesh, the Lukka, or Lukka, the Hittites, and the Palisset. A lot of these names are so old that if a lot of our listeners may be used to sort of the classical world, it's all way beyond, all
it's
much,
a thousand
much
years
further,
before that, you know.
Yeah. So Cyprus, for example, isn't called Cyprus, they call it Elysia. So all these things have got completely different names to what we're used to.
Yeah. And they're also, they're being filtered through multiple languages as well. And so we don't really know how they would have pronounced it at all, because obviously there's no one who was around who speaks the language now. And, you know, the language has changed so much over the intervening millennia that we are doing our best to reconstruct it. So, yeah. So
the Egyptians will write something down, put a name in a cartouche or something or other. The Greeks, the Hellenistic era Greeks, will translate that into their dialect of Greek. Perhaps the Romans translate into Latin, and maybe finally it would be translated into some sort of medieval Latin, and finally to English, where we'll get a word like meshwesh.
Yeah.
Who knows what they were actually called at the time, or what they called themselves, we don't know.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.